It's a blessing to be saved and to have a double portion of the Lord's Spirit. Jesus said before he went away concerning the coming of the Spirit, he shall be in you and he shall be with you. So we that have been saved, we have a double portion. A spirit to bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And a spirit to lead and guide us in all truths and in his worship. I'd like to say to Faith Church, it's a blessing for me to be with you this morning, to be able to try to stand for Jesus, deliver a portion of his word. I was here some 40 years ago to preach. I have been here a number of times over the years, and I'm thankful for, again, the opportunity to come. A little about me, and I don't enjoy talking about me at all, but I found the joy of salvation truly on October 13, 1957. I was baptized. Two Sundays later, my wife and I in Massacre Creek, Goodsville, Tennessee. Called to preach about a year and a half later and waited 12 years to own the calling. I tried to pastor for 28 years and pastored 5 churches. And I have been privileged to see the Lord's blessings so wonderfully displayed so many times, and souls being saved, added to the church. And so I'm thankful today for all the Lord has done for me, and I know you are if you've been saved. As I said again in the beginning, it's such a wonderful thing to be saved and to be a member of the Lord's church. This Memorial Weekend, let us be thankful for the freedom we enjoy, for those that made it possible, but most of all for the one that set us free from the bondage of sin, Satan, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we have a lot to be thankful for, and I do today desire an interest in your prayers. I enjoyed the good Sunday school, the good songs, the piano playing. I tell you, when you come to a church where the Spirit's there, he lets you enjoy it all. He makes it good. And so we do ask an interest in your prayers. But that is enough about myself. We will try to read a lesson, and you'll find our scripture reading in the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation. We'll read 7 verses for a scripture reading and some things there with the Lord's help I'd like to try to dwell upon a little while. He put these things on my heart, and I think they're there for a reason, and I hope they'll be an encouragement and a help and a strength. If you're here and lost today, I don't know whether there's a lost person here or not, but the most important thing in your life is to be saved by the grace of God. As I know, this church, this altar place is open, and I thank God we're free. We're free to seek the Lord anywhere and everywhere that God deals with our hearts. So if you're here in that situation today, we hope and pray that you will consider your need and turn to Jesus for salvation. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves were for the healing of the nations. There were no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light. They shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true. And the Lord God, the holy prophets, and his angels shall show unto his servants those things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. That's reading these seven verses. Now I'd like to use for a thought from the second verse, there was the tree of life. Now that was, we know it looks back. And we want to look back in a minute to the Garden of Eden. But also, as John was shown these things, he was telling us of future things also, what he saw. And it's these things today that have been things that have kept God's people going and give us hope, courage, and strength as we continue in the Lord's work. We know that we're living in very discouraging, trying times today, as many people of all ages have, and we'll try to touch on some of these. But nevertheless, when we look back in the Garden of Eden, we find basically the same lesson there, and where all of these things had its beginning. It said in verse 8 of the second chapter, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man in a new form. Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant in the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads." So we see basically the same things in the closing chapter of the book that we have there, with the exception of one thing, and that was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Of course, it had done its damage. Satan had tempted Adam. He ate, and we know that sin and death passed upon the human family. So we don't see that in the future tense as it was revealed to John. But one of the beautiful things there was a river. And we see that river flowing from the throne of God. And we find that this river is very special. We know that there is the water of life, and we find mentioned many times in God's word. And as we begin our lesson today, I said, in 46th Psalm, it says, God is our refuge. We do have a refuge. Though things are troubling, trials are great, sin abounds, morality is an all-time low. And we could dwell on all the bad things that are going on. But God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And I hope you'll keep that on your mind as we try to proceed. You know, it's discouraging. Rayon City, we're down to just a few. I know you are not. I remember when I come here and this house was filled. I remember when all our churches were full and running over. Souls were being saved constantly. The church growing. But it says, therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And we see all this as it is symbolized here, it's taking place all around us. It says, there is a river. You know, that's the beautiful thing. There is a river. And I'm glad I got a drink of that living water back there many years ago. And today, if you're here and lost, the book closes with the invitation for you to come and drink. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let he that hears say, come. Let whosoever will come and take of the water of life freely. It's flowing. It started flowing back there in the garden, and it still flows. And it says, the streams thereof shall make glad. Aren't you glad you're saved today if you are? I'm glad today. And that's what that river of life does. It makes glad. That time of sorrow, time when we're cast down on the way to a devil's hell, that water will make glad. And that's just the beginning. It just starts in salvation, as we'll see. It winds up somewhere else, even more joyful. The city, it will make glad the city of God, the church of God, the living God, the bride in glory. It's a joy now, but it's nothing to compare with the joy that will be after a while. To those that find their place in the bride of Christ, or even in the presence of it, one day after a while. The place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God's in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Let that be strength to you today. Though it seems discouraging, His promise is, she will not be moved. God shall help her and that right early. The heathen raised, the kings were moved. He uttered His voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob. He's our refuge. We find this river, as I said, 7th after John, Jesus stood and cried that great day of the feast. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Out of his belly shall flow waters, rivers of living water. So that water has been flowing, and it's there. The 4th chapter of John, there was a woman who was a sinner. I mean, a pretty bad sinner. But Jesus took the opportunity to tell her about the living water. And He said, be in you a well of water flowing up into everlasting life. And He was there to get a natural drink, but she needed a spiritual drink, as all lost people do. And so she found that living water. Then went into the city and told all the people, you come out and see a man that told me all that I did. And they came out and heard Jesus and they got saved. See, that's the beauty of the church and what we're trying to do. We just need to go out and see the folks. People, come see a man. Come hear about a man. He knows what you're doing. He knows all you do. You can't hide your sins from Him. You know, everything is open before Him. But you see, there's something else here. We find in the midst of the street, it says, show me a proceeding out of the throne of God in the midst of the street of the other side, there was the river of life. And it said, in the midst of the street of it. You see, we're walking down this street to glory. It's a highway. We're traveling the street to heaven. And you see, on every side, Satan has his troubles. Satan has everything there to try to hinder and to destroy our life and influence. And so as we walk down this street, we're seeing today Satan's great power, great influence. In the 12th chapter of Revelation said, woe unto you that are keeping the commandments of God. He's coming down and you have great wrath. He knows that He had but a short time. And I'm persuaded we're in that little season before Jesus returns. When we look at Satan and how that he is going about as a roaring lion. And all the troubles and things we have to encounter. So as we walk down the street of it toward our heavenly destination, on every side, there's troubles and trials and sickness and heartaches and everything that can be to hinder God's cause. But you see, the tree of life is on both sides of it. It's there. And so we find today that the book, in the 2nd chapter, I believe it is, of the book of Revelations, it speaks there of the church there. And it says, I know thy works and thy patience, and cannot bear them which are evil. You see, they had these problems then. It's nothing new to God's cause or God's people. And it says, they have tried them which say they are apostles and are not. They're found liars. We're surrounded by those today who our lies are coming forth about Christ and about the Christianity. Everything that's good, everything, if you turn on your television, anywhere you go, it's lies, it's slander upon God's cause and God's people. They had it there. But listen, thou hast borne and hast patience, for in thy namesake hast labored and hast not fainted. There's no place to quit in the work of God. You see, there's no place to say, well, it's just not worth it. My friend, it's worth it. As the song says, it'll be worth it all one day after a while. Every bit of it. It's worth it. And never let Satan think it's not. Because every trial you go through is a reward in heaven. Every hardship you endure will be a reward in heaven. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for great is your reward. It all has a place and purpose, you see. It's part of God's cause. It's part of God's work. Encountering all the things that Satan has, the fiery darts he has to cast our way. It says, going down in the 7th verse, it says, he that have an ear to hear. We that have been saved, we have an ear to hear. We have a spiritual ear, a spiritual understanding that the world don't have. Let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. In the closing book of Revelation, 22nd chapter, he said, I want these things testified in the churches. People say Revelation don't matter. Let me tell you, Revelation is a book of history from the time of John forward. It's symbolic truth. But we have the spirit of understanding. We can understand the symbols if we let the Holy Spirit speak to us. And Paul said the things of God are spiritually discerned. The carnal mind can't comprehend them. Can't begin to grasp them. That's why we've got so many false religions in the world. And I don't know about you, I believe they belong to Satan. I think they're Satan's organizations. To him that overcometh, now listen, will I give to eat of that tree of life which is in the midst of the paradise of God. That's future tense. What is the tree of life for? What was it for? It's to give life and immortality to the body. The spirit was already eternal. The soul of man was eternal. But the tree of life back there, mentioned in the book of Revelations, was there for a purpose. You know, that must have been one of the most beautiful gardens ever was. I don't have time to go and show you the trees mentioned elsewhere in the Bible. The chestnut tree, the fir tree, the pine tree, all kinds of trees are mentioned in the Bible. But you know, that tree of life bears 12 manner of fruits once a month. Must be in constant bloom here. And so you can imagine the beauty of what was lost back there in the garden. But the message is to try to help you to see the beauty of what awaits in the paradise restored. So it says, which in the midst of the paradise of God, we find over in the 22nd chapter. It said in the first 14th verse, blessed are they that do his commandments. Let's keep doing the commandments of God. Let's keep trying to do the things that God would have for us to do. Blessed are they. I don't know about you. Over the 28 years I pastored, I had a lot of troubles and heartaches, slander and everything else cast at me, but I was blessed. Blessed are they that do his commandments. And Jesus said, if you truly love me, keep my commandments. My commandments are not grievous. Psalmist said, blessed are they that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, that standeth in the way of sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And listen to this. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You see, there's where happiness and prosperity comes in. It's keeping our heart and mind fixed upon Jesus and doing the things that he'd have for us to do, no matter how little it may seem. It might be a smile or a touch or a tear. Whatever God would have for us to do. Listen. Blessed are they that do his commandments. They have the right to the tree of life. May enter into the gates, into the city. For without, outside of this great shelter that we're in, there's dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers. We see that all around us, don't we? Murderers. People killing their little children, killing each other, blowing themselves up, hoping they'll have so many brides in heaven. Hate Christians. Kill, destroy. That's all this world's about. Idolaters. Worshiping everything in this world that's evil and wrong. And I tell you, everything is good in its place, basically speaking. But you know, people have made a god out of sports. We go to church on Sunday in the ball field. At church time, over there, it's full of people carrying their kids over to play ball. That's everything. Don't get me wrong. Things are good in his place. God put things here to be enjoyed. God placed good medicine here that he could use, be discovered and use and bless to heal along with his blessings. Brother Lane was telling about his treatment. God bless you. I hope everything goes well. But you see, God put things here for us to use right and to enjoy. Whosoever loveth and maketh a life. I tell you what, I promise you, turn on your television and 99.9% of what you hear is going to be a lie. Politicians trying to cover up this or lying about that. Preachers lying about how to get to heaven, lying about this. It's lie after lie after lie. Folks, don't think we're alone. As I said, people of all ages, Christians of all ages, and this should be our strength. And this is the reason God gave me this message. He's been strengthening me, and I think he gave me. So I didn't come over here to ridicule, to try to get up here and lambast the church. I don't do that. I go to visit church. That's not my place. Just try to encourage, to strengthen, and give hope. Paul said this, 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians, 8th verse, we're troubled on every side. True. But listen to what it said. Yet not distressed. We don't have to be distressed over that. Perplexed, but not in despair. Oh, sure, all these things are there. But it's happened to our forefathers. All that's gone before us. Persecuted, but not forsaken. What did I read in the Psalms? About that beautiful river of life. God is our refuge. Cast down, but not destroyed. I tell you what. One of the beautiful things I learned when I came to a Missionary Baptist church is Satan can't get me. See, I grew up believing in churches that believed you could lose your salvation if you didn't live a certain way. Lynn and I encountered a man last week, a wonderful man, sweet man. He said, you know, I'm afraid. But I won't do enough to get to heaven. I thought, how sad. But you know, I was that man at one time. And that's a miserable state. I'm afraid. He lived in fear. But what a wonderful thing it is to know, not destroyed. There's no way. Height, depth, principalities, powers. There's nothing can separate us from the love of God.
Amen.
Which is in Christ Jesus. And that was such a blessing for me to learn. Oh, I thrilled my heart that I could finally come to know the eternal security of the believer. So we find Paul said this, and this is what I want to encourage you to do. He says, for this cause we faint not. Though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is renewed day by day. Continue. Our high priest is taking care of that. Continue. For our light afflictions, and then Paul counted it, you read all Paul suffered. How he was hungry, how he was beaten, how he was shipwrecked. You know what he called those? He said, those are just light afflictions. Well, he said, I glory in these things. We should too. Which is but for a moment. Because why? It worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Every trial, every affliction is a piece of gold in heaven. It's a jewel up there. And we saw it's precious. Now he tells us how, and this is what I want you to get. How? While we look not at the things that are seen. Oh, they'll discourage you. They'll drag you down. They'll say it's not worth it. If you keep your eyes fixed on this world and upon the riches and pleasures and all the things of this world, I tell you what, it'll keep you where you're not fit to serve the Lord. James said, we glory in tribulations. Or Paul did. Know that tribulation is worth experience. Experience hope. Hope make not modern shame. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Heard a man say the other day, I used to not invite people to church because I was ashamed. Somebody might shout or something. Well, I tell you what, there's something wrong with people ashamed today. There's something wrong with people that's ashamed of joy and happiness. I'm not a bit ashamed of what I am.
Amen.
He tells us how. While we look not at the things that are seen. Things are seen, but the things which are not seen. The things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Amen.
Those are the things that we must fix our eyes on. They're those things that are eternal. And we find that the way to all this, and I'll get back in a minute to the great blessing. Those leaves of that tree, they're for healing, my friend. Well, we look back in the book of Genesis. It says in the third chapter, after Adam had sinned, 22nd verse, the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. Now let he put forth his hand, take also that tree of life and eat and live forever. God didn't want man to live forever in a sinful state. He provided a way through his son Jesus Christ and all that that tree stood for. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way to the tree of life. That way to the tree of life is the grace of God. It was then, it is now, and it always has been, always will be. Every person that's ever been saved had been saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
And that way has been preserved from that time. Through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the flaming sword, the gospel in the hands of the Spirit, was turned ever which way to deal with all things and to keep that way. And that way is open to you today if you're lost. That grace of God, Paul said, that bringeth salvation, has appeared unto all men, teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteous, and godly in this present world. That's the way the grace continues to flow through God's people and through His churches. We find in the first chapter of John, I don't know whether I can quote the scriptures there, I won't, but it's there, where the Word was made flesh, how Jesus came to this world. 14th verse, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. See, Jesus is the grace of God. He's made grace for us. He provided grace for us. And by grace you're saved through faith. That not of yourself, it's a gift of God. So all this I'm talking about, you see, it's made possible through God's glorious and wonderful grace. And it says, John bare witness of Him, the first Baptist did. Baptists ever since then, true Baptists, have been bearing witness of Jesus Christ and of their grace. This was He who of whom I spake, He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. He came down from heaven, was born of a virgin, took upon Himself human flesh of body. He went to the cross and suffered the afflictions. Every kind of thing that we could ever suffer, He suffered. He endured every temptation that we ever can ever endure. He was at all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. What a wonderful Savior we have.
Amen.
And of His fullness, now think about this, fullness of God. We've all received that. Of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. Grace came to me through somebody else's grace, doing what God had to do. That's why this church is so precious and so important.
Amen.
Let the river flow. Let the grace roll on. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So we see that, I don't know what time it is. It's about time I was winding up, I guess. I don't think you all have a time limit, but nevertheless, we don't want to worry your patience. Listen to what Peter said. The trial of your faith. Peter, 1st chapter, 7th verse. The trial of your faith. Sure, it's good. From Abraham, from all of all ages. Absolutely. But there is the tree of life, you see. More precious than gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, may be found the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Having not seen, you love. Now, we've got to look for those things that are not seen. Having not seen you love, though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let the saints praise God. Let the saints shout. Suits me. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired, search diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. They had the grace back then. They were saved by the grace of God. They prophesied about us getting it. Searching what manner of time the Spirit of God which was in them. They were saved just like we are. They had the Spirit in them. When it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them which have preached the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. That flaming soul turning every which way. It's there, protecting the gospel and the grace of God. It just thrills my heart.
Amen.
Now that I'm almost there, joy unspeakable and full of glory. As I said, I've got a whole bunch in between and closing, but I've got to close. And I think I'll go and let us get a glimpse of that life and immortality of the body, which that tree of life is. You know, the death and the shed blood of Jesus gives life to our soul, but the resurrection of body gives life to our body. Because he rose, we'll all die. Those who have died in Jesus will have a body just like his. It'll be a glorious body. Here's the healing. When he saw the multitude that was in heaven, 7th chapter of Revelation, the question was asked, who are these? Where did they come from? These are they that have come out of great tribulations and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now notice these beautiful leaves of that tree of life. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple. He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. There's going to be a new heaven and new earth, but heaven and earth will be together. There won't be no separation. We won't be separated from God and Jesus. We'll be together. There'll be more space to separate. He shall dwell among them. Now listen. There shall hunger no more. Well, I won't get back. We didn't have much when I was growing up. We were poor folks. Very poor. I never had money to carry in my pocket. But sometimes I'd get hungry and be out. Remember one occasion, I don't know why I'm saying this, but we were hauling hay. If you ever hauled hay, that's one of the hottest jobs you ever get into back then. Went up at the store and they were all drinking cold drinks and eating candy bars out of the refrigerator to keep them melting. I guess where they put them in there. I didn't have any money to buy. I just had to stand and look on as my mouth drew. But you know, we'll never hunger when we get there. Won't be no hungry little children. Won't be no old folks, nursing homes and not half fed. Neither thirst anymore. Neither shall the sun light on them. I have to put on sunscreen, wear an old hat when I go out. Take me the sun. I won't need that protection. I'll have it. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And boy, you hadn't known salvation. Do you get it in the soul and body united? We talk about heaven now. Heaven now is nothing compared to what it's going to be. We're just resting in the presence of God when we die now. They're talking about people over here, what they're doing. Well, the Bible, the only thing it tells me they're doing is resting in the presence of the Lord, waiting for the time when Jesus comes back. Shall lead them into living fountains of water. God shall wipe away all the tears. I tell you, it's good to me. I don't know about you. And I hope and pray. I said, God, why'd you give me this? He said, you go over there and deliver it. And that'd be a strength to me, and I hope to you. John saw this holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down of God of heaven. Revelation 21:2. Prepared as a door for a husband. And this description in the 21st chapter of Revelation is the bride in heaven. All these jewels and things are not literal jewels or literal gold. It represents God's people. The true jewels reflect in the light of Christ, as we have tried to down here. And let me leave this with you. The more you reflect the light of Jesus down here, the more brilliant you'll shine in heaven. And that's for sure. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He shall dwell with them. They shall be his people. God shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death. We went to the cemetery last Sunday, memorial, where all my wife's people are buried on both sides, most of them. Won't be any more death. Nor sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. This is the tree of life, my friend, the resurrected Savior, what he gives you. Immortality, as we'll see as I close. He sat upon the throne and said, behold, I'll make all things new. And he said, write, these words are true and faithful. You count them. In closing, to confirm what I've tried to present to you today from the 15th chapter of the book of Revelations, it speaks of this tree of life, the resurrected Savior, and of our resurrection, and what it'll bring about. So in the resurrection of the dead, it's sown in corruption. It's raised in incorruption. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Now these are things which that tree of life represents. Things that would have been had not man sinned. But he did. But you see, the grace of God restored it all through his Son, Jesus Christ. And if you're lost, I hope that this message will cause you to have a desire to be there one day at the bottom. So in a natural body, raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body, there's a spiritual body. Behold, I show you a mystery. We're not all asleep, but we'll be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the coming of Jesus. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We heard a man preach last year on a 1,000-year reign. I don't believe a word of it, but he had a right to preach it. Maybe you do. If you do, that's fine. But I believe that's symbolic of the time that Christ, first resurrection is Jesus Christ. Blessed know that he have part in the first resurrection, of which second death have no part. I've got a part in the first resurrection. The rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years over, and that's symbolic. And there'll be no more resurrection of the dead until he comes back.
That's right.
That's the second resurrection. But he was saying the last trump's going to raise the saints when Jesus comes back. I thought, well, if it's the last trump, what trump's going to raise the rest of them 1,000 years later? You see, they get themselves in some predicaments. Well, this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal have put on immortality, then shall be brought to death, saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, but the strength of sin is the law. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The tree of life, so precious. All the things it is. one foot healing. And you know what Jesus did while he walked here. Oh my goodness. What Jesus did while he walked here was demonstrated that when he walked around to a blind man, he was sight. Just the ears of the dead caused him to hear. Speak to the lame man, it walked. He was demonstrating all that that tree of life symbolized. All he said, may God bless you. Thank you again for allowing me to come. It's been a blessing. I don't mean to preach much. I said sometimes I get old dogs and preachers are kind of in the same boat. But what a blessing it is. What a blessing it's been for me to come and be with you this morning, please. And may God bless each of you. You're lost. Need to come to God and be saved.
I'll stand and turn to page number 252. Come around and build before the shoulders. Take a handshake. Number 252. I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way. Telling the world that Jesus saves today. Yes, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in
anyone else? Would there be a word on anybody else's heart? I think next Sunday is Jeremy Collins. Is that right? Am I wrong on that? Jeremy Collins, I think, is supposed to be here next Sunday. Let's remember him in prayer. Next Sunday is the first Sunday. Then the second Sunday, Brother Armour will be back. It'll be our Lord's Supper. So let's remember that. And then the third Sunday will be our beginning of our effort meeting. Let's remember all who's going to participate in that, Brother Armour and Brother Forshee and Brother Dillon. Well, let's remember them in prayer. Let's remember this church and pray that the Spirit will be here, that lost will come in and be saved. Anyone else? There won't be any church here tonight. Remember all who's out today. There seems to be a lot out, so let's remember them in prayer, wherever they might be. Some are traveling, I know, so let's remember them.
The 12th of June revival started. We want to see if we'd ask your prayers. Have a weekend. Preacher's church, but a young preacher there, and the preacher's going to be accepting. So remember the church if you will.
Let's remember this. Remember Round City. Remember all the revivals that are beginning or in progress. There's several over the next few months. Anyone else?
Roberta, I'd like to tell a story. I appreciate the message. Appreciate you coming to be with us.
Jimmy, would you dismiss us?
Thank you.
Congratulations.